3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host.
You know who it is.
The one, the only.
Let's go.
Asher Chua. Asher Chua.
Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Camilla.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. To introduce you to the audience, who do you say you are?
I usually go by Camille. Professionally, people will often call me Dr. Johnson. That's my name. Who I am is a mother, an educator, and all around, I think, champion for people and wanting them to succeed.
I like that. How? What are you a doctor of, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I haven't. People always say, can you help me? And I'm like, not that kind of doctor. I have an educational doctorate degree in organizational leadership with an emphasis on education. Most of second half of majority of my career has been in education administration and organizational leadership.
Gotcha. And I was about to say, hey, my elbow's been hurting.
Can you help, right? Can you help me out? I got that the other day. I was like, not that kind of doctor.
Nice. Did you always know that you wanted to pursue the PhD path?
Not necessarily. I do love learning, so I'm a little bit of a nerd that way. But it wasn't something I have thought of young, because school has not been hard, but always I had to put effort to do well. But as you continue to go up and you see other people getting their doctorate degrees, and you're like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And I loved being in school, so I just decided to go for it. At that time, I wasn't thinking necessarily what it would do for my career, but it has been helpful for my career.
Awesome. Could I get you to try to record without your earbuds? I'm not sure if the audio is coming back through, correct?
Sure, let me take them out.
Gotcha. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I was worried about, sorry.
You're good.
Let's see, hold on.
Yes, that's good. Oh, just went away. You have your case closed. There you are.
There we go. Okay. Yep. I was worried, like I said earlier, I had a lot of construction going on in the house and I was worried they wouldn't finish in time.
Right.
But
right.
They did, so we're gotcha. Good.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Like you said, seeing other people do that and you're like, oh, I can do that. And
yeah.
Just being someone that mentions actually having to put forward the effort, you don't know how good that sounds, because so many times I hear people that are just like, oh, I didn't have to study. I just showed up, aced it, just showed up for the test, didn't even show up for the classes, none of that. And I'm like, get out of my face. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, you're the savant. You're out here just killing it and whatever. I'm like, some of us are just struggling in life.
No, that is not my story. I had to put forth the effort, but I also learned and have mastered using resources. Mm. So if you need a tutor, you get a tutor. If you need someone to help you, you ask for help and get the help, and you can be just as successful as the next person.
I like it. Mm. And what was the journey like for you, say, growing up, starting out? Like you mentioned, school was something that you kind of look forward to, or you're like, I guess I got to do it because you got to go to elementary school, middle school, high school. Everybody's got to follow the track, so to speak.
Yeah. What's so funny is that being an educator, people think like, oh, what's your educational story? I honestly really don't remember elementary school that much. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. I really don't remember. I think I was probably there to socialize more, learn. It wasn't until college that I found this love for learning. And honestly, it was a master's program. Bachelor's, going through the motions. But to be a teacher, well, I should say to be an administrator, you had to have a master's degree. So a master's program is specialized to what you're interested in. And I have a reading specialization, teaching kids how to read. And I fell in love with it.
Why is that?
After I discovered research. One, because it was all research based. So I enjoy things that are based in practices and theory. Mm-hmm. And there is evidence to support what people were saying. And so that's where my love for research and then the doctoral degree came in. Mm-hmm. As I started to learn how students learn how to read and what helps students be successful and not successful. that's where the love and passion came. But it took all the way to a master's degree. Bachelor's, it's like I'm never coming back.
Yeah. So would you say you were one of the students that was stressed about, or did you even take to heart the notion that, okay, you got to have your life together by 18. You got to go into college with this major that's going to be setting up your life, and you're going to have so many kids behind a picket fence and this, that, and the other. Like, did you let that kind of stress weigh on you?
That is what I thought my life would be like. And it was nothing like that. Yeah. Life happens and there is no picket fence. There was, how am I going to figure out how to pay for college? My dad went to college, but never graduated because he ran out of money. My mom never went to college. They helped me a little bit, but I eventually had to figure that out. At one point, I was on academic probation because I was doing so poorly. Then I stopped school altogether and realized I'm not going to make any money unless I go back. So I went back to school. So yeah, there was no easy like picket fence, fences. It was effort and hard work.
I guess what would you say redirected you as you were kind of going through the process? It's like, okay, nobody's done college before. You try college for a bit. Maybe you've got to stop, but it's like, okay, this other thing isn't working out. So I might need to do this thing.
Yeah. You know what it was? It was different experiences. The first one was, I was working at a preschool. It was a very nice preschool in Dallas, Texas, where a person was promoted to director over me. I worked hard. I had the experience. I was good at what I did. And she got it because she had a degree. And that made me realize, okay, that piece of paper is important. So I went back and finished my bachelor's. And then when I became an administrator and saw many other administrators have their doctorate degree, I was like, you know, I'm going to try. And I'm going to be honest. I tried once and was like, I can't do this. I had it stuck in my head. One time a teacher told me I was a bad writer. And I was like, I can't do this. This requires too much writing. I stopped for a couple of years. And then all my other friends kept going. And I was like, why am I the only one who's stopping? Because I'm doubting myself. I went back and then I worked hard to finish and ended up, I love this story because I ended up defending with no revisions in my dissertation, which very few people do. And I was like, oh, that teacher who told me I was a bad writer, she could see me today.
You just be like, suck it.
Yeah. But honestly, I think it was seeing other people. And why am I, it was always self-doubt. That's what keeps you from moving forward. But why are, if they're able to do it, I can do it too. So
that's awesome. And for you to have that desire to want to teach kids how to read, and ultimately, I'm guessing that empowers them to be able to write. It's ultimately like doing the complete opposite of what was done to you. Instead of someone, instead of you being another discourager to another child, you're like, no, I'm actually going to encourage you and show you how to do it and kind of take away some of the stigmas that may be put on you.
Yes, you're so awesome. Yes, that is what I live for, is to speak life into kids and tell them there's nothing they cannot do, to not doubt themselves. And my thing is, if you do have weaknesses, for lack of a better term, let's find the things that can help you bridge that gap so that you can be successful. So even when I moved up to administration, it was still about, we are going to do everything we can to make sure every student that crosses our path, that they learn and that they feel successful and that they feel like there's nothing that they can't do.
I like that. It's funny, in wanting to interview you or wanting to sit down and just have a conversation with you, I'm working on removing the word just and limiting words out of my vocabulary from being a part of Brevi University and being around certain people. But what's funny to me is that I think I'd originally reached out to you, and then next thing I know, we happened to be on a similar call where it's like, it was revision for me and like an initial call for you. But one of those things that looks at how we see ourselves and kind of how, if you understand how you are, what your tendencies are, what your behaviors are, what your motivations are, or even why you do what you do, like what's important to you, like that underlining thing with like a snapshot moment in time, it kind of takes off those limiters. So it was funny just being in that common company and it's like, huh, I know I saw this person before. And it's like, we keep showing up in the same rooms. It's like, man, it feels good.
It does feel good. It does feel good. I think those rooms are important because when you're dealing with that, like self-talk, like, you know, for you, it was revision. For me, it was new. But even sitting in that room and having those conversations, I'm like, am I capable of doing this? Do I have the knowledge and skill set to do this? And for you, you're like, ah, I know this well.
Well, it's kind of funny hearing that from you, being that this is you post PhD. And like, I think we're just talking about last year, and it's like, you've already overcome all of this. And it's crazy to think that no matter what level you get to, there's still some doubts or questions that you may have as a person. So it's not like you just arrive and the world just like, here's the red carpet. Go do whatever you want to do. Buy whatever you want to buy, like shopping spree. Go to Disneyland. Go here. Go there. Just like whatever you're thinking, no more problems. It's like life doesn't work like that.
You're right. It's ever, we're always ever evolving and changing. I started a new position and I'm leading a large school district and there are a lot of challenges and I'm like, am I equipped to do this work? Just this week, am I equipped to do this work knowing I've done it in the past? It's just starting over new, so you constantly have to remind yourselves where you've been, what you've done, and then also that positive self-talk that you can do it. You really can,
right? So I guess, can you, if you can remember kind of going back to that sit down training that we had, What was that experience for you like? What, when you're going into it, while you're in it, and like the aftermath, so to speak?
I will say the unknown always makes me a little nervous, a little bit of a control issue. So it's what is there to be expected, and also taking in new information, being able to process it, but not be worried about, am I asking a dumb question? People think because you are Dr. So-and-so, you know or comprehend quickly, or it should be easy for you, but it's still new learning. So there is, there's questions that come with that. There's wanting to understand. So it's a little bit of, I don't know if it would be insecurity or, but also curious. I want to learn.
Yeah. I think that's definitely something I identified with you. And like, I think the time that I sat in on your session for, I guess not to be too vague, we're talking about advanced insights, DISC training, behavioral, what's the term? Behavioral psychology, and understanding how people behave and why they behave in the way that they behave. And for me, that was maybe the third time or fourth time that I'd seen that. So that's why I was more comfortable. But being more comfortable with myself, when you would ask the questions that you asked, it felt welcoming and inviting, because it's like, okay, here's a curious person that genuinely wants to know. And I'm curious to know, like, the feedback that you got, was it encouraging? Was it like, what was it for you?
Encouraging. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was a room where there are no dumb questions. Ask the questions. And I have learned that over the years. And I tell people, ask the questions, because someone else is thinking it.
Yeah.
And they may be too scared to ask. So when you step out and be brave, you're actually helping somebody else. So, but what comes with that is someone who creates a safe space. Yeah. And that's what we had. Safe space to freely talk, ask, be curious, and not shut down.
Right. So I think Preach definitely does a great job of that.
He's amazing.
Yeah. And what's funny is that in even sitting in a session for a third or fourth time, it's like you learn, like I learned from your questions that you're asking, it where it was like, oh yeah, I think I forgot about that. And then I could reflect on it and be like, okay, like it gives me something to think about before. Like, my background isn't in civil engineering, and people all of a sudden, like when they have those three titles or four titles, doctor, engineer, doctor, engineer, lawyer, and maybe something else, but like people are just like, these are the pillars of life. And it's like, oh, this person, they're like, oh, engineer, can you fix this? Can you build this? Can you do that? And I'm like, I'm not that type of engineer. And like, as I'm building up and getting the different life experiences that I'm getting, I'm learning that I can have the ability to do something, but it's okay to tell people like, nope. That's not what I do. That's not what I do.
And even if it is what you do, it's okay not to have all the answers.
Right.
And the beauty of your background and mine is we bring different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So our questions are based on our own paradigms anyway.
Right.
So we get to hear and learn from a variety of perspectives. And that's awesome.
Yeah. So then I know you work in teaching kids how to read. Is linguistics something you focus heavily on, like since you gotten your PhD or like leading up to your PhD?
Well, I honestly haven't taught kids how to read in probably 15 years because Now I work with leaders, leaders of schools, leaders of districts. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time since I've actually taught kids how to read. That's where my passion started. Mm-hmm. And that's where love for learning came. Gotcha. So I honestly would have to go back to what I used to do to think about that question. I'm more about teaching leaders how to lead groups of people and teams, which is why the DISC assessment is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Because understanding the people that you serve and the people that you lead helps you know different ways to communicate with them, helps you better understand why they respond the way they do. And it gives you, I think, a more empathetic lens.
Right.
As you literally are dealing with different personalities every day.
I guess, how's your approach evolved in dealing with people?
So because I'm so familiar with the DISC now, I think I'm able first identify what are their characteristics, mm-hmm. which helps me better communicate with them.
Gotcha.
Prior to the DISC, the leader I am now is so much better than I was before. I felt like, well, if I sent an email, everyone should read it. Well, what you learn is that some people are great with technology and reading an email. Others want a piece of paper given to them. Others want a conversation. Well, before the DISC assessment, it was like, no, that's the way to do it. And everyone gets to get on board. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I realized that people are different. And so we
like a high C personality.
I'm actually high D, Naya. It's so funny.
I was like, it's one of those. It's like, hey, these are the rules I'm setting. You better fall in line or else.
Yeah. Now there are expectations. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the assessment has taught me that everyone's not going to respond that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm really big on supporting your team in order to be successful. So the DISC helps you understand people and how to communicate with them and how to get the best out of them.
So I guess, would you say it's been about a year since you were introduced to it, kind of messing with it, looking at like, okay, how do I understand this? How do I apply this? Like what the heck does all this stuff actually mean?
Yeah, well, I would say, so for me, that was a refresher, but I had been away from it for about, probably 3 years. So within 3 years, the assessment had actually changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I honestly had really forgotten a lot of things. So even though it was a refresher, it was like starting over for me.
Yeah.
And then Preach brings a different spin on it that I so appreciate and goes deeper. So I felt like it was starting all over again.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at mine the other day, actually, because I go back. Mm-hmm. Every time I go through a change and, you know, people who know me, like every couple of years, you're moving, you're doing something different. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, I want to go back and see, is it in alignment with who I am right now? Mm-hmm. You notice like different circumstances causes more attributes to rise to the top and others to lower. So it's good to go back and reflect on it.
It's awesome. I guess for me, it's like, I think initially when I was introduced to it, maybe 2018, maybe around the same time frame, it's like I had someone that kind of, I found out about it through Eric Thomas and like Breathe University and that, and Chris Daniels before he passed. And it was like, okay, you have this thing that's used in corporate, but the way that he put his spin on it was like, he put animal characteristics to it. And I think different people have done that maybe with birds before, but he came out with this thing where it's like, you got the gorilla for the D, you got the I for the flamingo, you got the chameleon for the S, and the C for the turtle. And like, people were like, oh my God, it's just like mind blown. You can see the characteristics, and like, the turtles got made fun of a lot. So that's why it's like, my heart always goes out to them, because I'm like, yeah, we can be slow, but it's like, it's not slow, it's methodical. Like,
oh, so you're a turtle.
Like, yeah, so I'm like, the very first assessment that I took, it was high turtle, high chameleon. And it was like, okay, I like to support people, and I try to look out for the little guy, where it's like, definitely introverted. And then like yourself, you can see like extrovert, introvert. But even surprising with that, sometimes you'll see someone that appears extroverted, but they're really introverted. But you wouldn't know that unless you kind of dug deeper with the training we did with Preach, where it's like, here's why they behave in this way. And it's like, okay, don't place the person in a box, but at least have an idea of what lens they're operating from. Like, what's their story? What's their paradigm? What's informing their decision make? And then it's like, oh, okay, you're not who I thought you were, but there's more to you.
That's what I like about Preach, is that he goes deeper, so that that's what you learn about. And that's what I'm most curious about, not necessarily what you are, but what's behind and under the surface to what makes you who you are. Yeah. Why you respond the way that you do. That stuff, like, I could spend hours on. That's what.
That's awesome. And it seems like it's the perfect pairing for where you're at, training leaders and working with leaders and helping them help their people.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's really important if you can get a sense of why people are responding the way they do. Mm-hmm. It can help you in so many ways. Like I said, in your interactions, your communications, even when planning and preparing for things, mm-hmm. understanding who your audience is so powerful in how you even deliver information.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, it's funny because I'm like, do I stay in the present right now? Do I go back, or do I go in the future? And it's like, there's so many options. But like, what's this year been like for you, 2023? Because I know when we chatted earlier, I was thinking you were in one location. You're like, no, I've been two or three other locations now, and I'm kind of settling in here until the next thing.
It's been a whirlwind. I would not have seen it coming. You know, I decided I was moving to one place and stayed there. I stayed for a year, but within that year, so many things changed, and opportunities that I wasn't even looking for were presented to me. And I was like, why not? I'm done raising children. I have one daughter. She's an adult living on her own. Why not? I have this opportunity to move and do something new. We have one life to live. Why not? Yeah. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. I go on to the next thing.
Right.
I will say, I think your education helps you because it gives you options.
That's, yeah, that's very, very key. And yeah, I'm just saying that's key.
So I say all that to say, it's been a whirlwind of a year. I'm doing something that I never thought I would come back to. I'm in a place that I never even considered living, but I'm happy and excited and ready to see what happens next.
That's awesome. I guess, did you ever dream that, like you said, it's kind of unexpected, but did you dream that you would be empty nester, somewhat traveling the world, traveling the state, coast to coast, like, just, hey, this is actually a reality.
It's a reality that I never saw coming. No, I thought I'd teach first grade forever, and that I would be a teacher. I would have four kids and a picket fence. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a single mom who worked hard, had multiple jobs while I was raising her, finished school as a mom, and then spent the last 3 years traveling literally from coast to coast, six flights a week sometimes, doing consulting work. And finally was like, when this offer was presented to me, I was like, yeah, I'm a little tired of planes. Let me just settle for a little bit. Yeah. But I never saw any of this. I thought I'd be a stay-at-home mom. And then I finished my degree and was like, oh, I'm going to teach, and just thought that's where it would end. So don't limit yourself. Anything could happen. You never know.
I guess, how have you informed your decision making, like, as you're going through it? Because, like, I think one thing about you I'm picking up is that, as open as you are and as free spirited, you're not reckless with your decision making. You're not just like, oh yeah, just we're just gonna go jump off and do like deep sea diving and this and that. It's like there's some calculation there.
Yeah, that's so funny that you I'm glad you picked up on that, because some people will say I'm spontaneous. I'm calculated. Everything I do, every decision, it has to make sense financially. I have to feel like what I'm walking into is going to be successful mm-hmm. and going to benefit me in the long run. And I don't just mean financially. I mean, for who I want to say brand, but I don't feel like I'm a brand, but like for who I am mm-hmm. and what I want to be known for yeah. as, and I don't mean in terms of things, but as just the person, like mm-hmm. the work I do needs to benefit other people.
Yeah.
And then I'm also at a point where is it feel good and give me balance in life. That's why I was tired of traveling. It wasn't feeling good anymore. It was living out of a suitcase, living out of hotels, eating at restaurants, which isn't always healthy for you. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, this isn't good anymore. So those are things that lead my decision.
Gotcha. It's funny. Just to echo what you're saying, one thing that I found about myself becoming an adult and actually learning, like, this year, December marks 10 years that I've graduated from college. And as I start to reflect and look back, you're just laughing about that. But like, as I start to look back, I'm like, okay, like I have really transformed into the person that I was, because even if I think of like high school, like I didn't know what, like, oh, like people talk about their 10-year high school reunion and I didn't go to mine, but like, I'm like, oh, okay, it'll be 20 years in 5 years. And it's like, okay, like I did grow up as this little boy, and it's like, I'm not the little boy anymore. There's like certain aspects of me, like my face is slightly changed, so people from years ago can still recognize me. And everybody's surprised that, like, oh, the shy, quiet kid is doing a podcast. And it's like, I'm doing a podcast, but I guess a lot of people don't exactly understand what a podcast is. So they think it has to be one way. And it's like, no, everybody makes it their own, and they find a way to like make their life work. And with different suggestions and things that people have made, it's like, I finally have an understanding that I get to choose, and I'm not just having to be the rabbit chasing after the stick, or the horse like constantly chasing the stick, or chasing the carrot that somebody's like constantly dangling in front of me. And I'm like, oh, that's right. So if I don't do this, or if something happens, something just happened, like the world isn't over. I think 2 weeks ago, I fell off my bike on a bike trail and had like a partial fracture in my elbow. But because it happened, not the same incident, but like I had a fracture in my right 10 years ago. And I was like, well, this is a weird deja vu, but I'm like, I've already been through this. So I know what the process is like. This one hurts like hell compared to then. So I'm like, maybe my bones are a little bit weaker, or I'm starting to feel, I don't know if I'd say age, maybe that's disrespect, but it's like, no, because yeah. people will look at me and be like, you're 33. What are you talking about? Like, oh, no, come on. But it's like, I was like, oh, okay. Like I can feel this. And I'm like, ugh. But like throughout the process, I laughed from the time that I got up off the ground. I'm like, okay, breathe. You're okay. You can move. Like, can your fingers still move? Good. It's not like nothing sticking out of the bone. Get home, get cleaned up. But it's like, get to the car first. So like I'm walking, getting off this trail. I'm like, okay, where's the road? It's just a big loop. So get over here, try to get on the pavement. Can I ride? Like, it's not in a soft cast anymore. So I've got my hands. So it's like, we're on the happy end of the story. But it's like just thinking through those things now to where 10 years ago, I was like, I was a little panicked, but I still had a similar strategy where it was like, I had something else to do. So I was like, this is a simple scratch. It's like simple hiccup, but like other things that have come in between there and now and then, it felt like, oh my God, like my world's falling apart. I forgot to sign up for this exam, and I forgot this and I forgot that. And it's like, what's anxiety and this and that? But it's being able to have those points of reflection and thinking back and being, oh yeah, like time has gone by, but I've actually changed as to the person that I'm actually am. And I'm like, oh, I get to write my story, and I get to decide. It's not just like people say, hey, you're this, you're that, you're shy, you're quiet, you're reserved, you're this. And it's like, okay, you're monotone. I'm like, you know, maybe I am, but like, I'm not going to keep listening to people tell me this is what you are. I'm like, your opinion's your opinion, but don't need it today. So it's like, I'm not coming to solicit somebody else's opinion and say like, hey, what do you think of, hey, what do you think? And it's like, oh, I get to choose when I wake up. And that feeling is just like chef's kiss, just like refreshing.
Man, you said so many powerful things in there. Like, you get a choice. You get to decide. It's not people telling you what to do or feeling you have to do. If everyone could understand they have a choice. I mentor people all the time who are looking for jobs, especially moving into administration. And I said, when you go into that interview, remember you are also interviewing them. It's not their choice. You decide if you want that job. Mm-hmm. And then when you talked about how once you've been through it once, it's not that bad the next time. Things get easier with experience and you learn that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel, because some people are very, and I mean personal friends of mine, are very uncomfortable with my decisions and that you're always moving. You're always on the go. Next, now you're doing this. I can't keep up with you. Well, I'm fine with it. I'm very comfortable with it. It has provided a great life for me, the choices I've made. And I think their discomfort was stepping outside of their comfort zone, they tried to place on me. Right. Don't worry about me. I'm just fine. But some people I think are scared to take chances, and that's okay. That is your choice. But like I said, I have one life to live. I've taken enough chances to know that even if it doesn't work out, it's going to be okay. So yeah, you had some amazing nuggets in that story.
Thank you. It's funny when you pointed to the, like the travel and things like that, watching ET from a distance and starting my career. I think I found out about him as I was getting ready to graduate, like kind of going through this injury initially. And it was like that, never been exposed to motivational speaking before. And a coworker that I worked with, we both went to the Georgia Tech in Atlanta. And it was weird because we're working as techs, but we worked hard and we're just like, okay, we're here like any of the other guys, work hard, be diligent. But I had I guess you call it maybe like a coming to Jesus moment or another one of those reflection moments where you're like, okay, I think I'm a good person. I'm sitting here on the scaffolding inside of a boiler, which is a giant oven that you use to power a power plant. Basically, when the oven's operational, you have, I think maybe coal that you'd have on the inside, and you have these boiler tubes. They're just like maybe an inch in diameter, and maybe like they'll have an eighth of an inch in thickness. And basically the reason we go in there is to check how thick it is, because as it's in process, it'll wear thin. And for insurance purposes, they need them checked periodically so that they know, okay, we got to cut out this section, or here's the life cycle of this thing. But in order to do that, you have to clean them off with a grinding. So you sit here by hand, and I think this was in Savannah. So this thing is 120 feet tall and maybe like 80 boiler tubes across. So it's like, you say 80 feet by 120 feet, and you have a certain section, maybe like a 40 foot section, 40 by 40, that you've got to clean off. And then you got to come back and like read it. So I'm sitting here cleaning this section off. I'm like, oh, I'm a diligent worker. I'm going to one of the top universities that I don't want to speak out of my mouth because I don't want to be cocky. I want to be humble and this and that. But it's like, I don't know if this is smart. Like what I'm doing here, anyone can do. No disrespect to anyone. I do this to highlight everyday people, but it's like anyone that can be hired off the street as a temp can come and do this. Respect. But it's like, why am I going to one of the top universities in the country and in the world for engineers if this is what I'm going to graduate to come do? It's like, I could do this. I wouldn't need a degree. I wouldn't need that. And it's like, it'd been three semesters that I'd come back to the same job. And it's like, my pay had increased by like $2. So I went from making $11 an hour to $13 by my third semester. And I think by the time that my injury had happened, like some kind of questions had come up. And I was like, you mean to, it's like one of those things where it's like, I respect people that work a 9-to-5, but I get the frustration of like being an entrepreneur and saying, you have to look out for yourself. Otherwise, no one's going to look out for you. And if you drop or something happens to you, there's always somebody that's going to take your place. So it's like we're all replaceable, so to speak. But just having this moment and sitting up there and just being like, what have I done wrong? Like I went to this school, I transferred, I'm making the grades, I'm thinking about, should I go to graduate school? Should I get out and actually see if this degree actually means anything? But if I get out, am I just going to be doing this job here, which doesn't require a degree to do? And that's where I was like, I got to change my approach. Like I keep going to career fairs, but not having the thought or the mentality that I also get to choose the company that I'm talking to. It's not me being a hooker, so to speak, and being like, please give me a job. And it's like, oh no, I have a choice in the matter. I just thought that that's like one thing that stayed ingrained in my mind. And it's like one of those things that's a constant reminder of like who I am. It's like, oh yeah, you did this thing. Like, don't forget that. And it's like, it's easy to forget when you get bogged down, when no one's looking at you, when no one's thinking about you. It's like, you have to think about you and you have to look at, you have to document your process in order to say, oh yeah, this is who I am. It's not the stress of the day. It's not the anxiety. It's not the worry or the depression or the trauma or whatever the word of the day is, the flavor of the month is. It's like those things kind of come and go, but you're still that guy. You're still that woman. You're still like whatever your name is. It's like you're that thing. And if it's bad on it, you can wipe some of the mud off and like rebuild yourself or just remind yourself that there's more to you than meets the eye.
You're right. You decide, you determine who you are and you walk that out. Because another thing I've learned, honestly, is people aren't thinking about you that much as you think they are. And no one's going to, people will try to impose who you are on yourself. So it's up to you to remind, accept what's acceptable to you and reject what's not. You're so right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just dropping all this beautiful knowledge.
Well, it's coming up to the surface and it's like, I got to get this off my chest and just be like, you know, like sometimes you want to celebrate yourself and it's that, like, stop asking for permission to be like, okay, I did something good. Like, okay, just say it, move on, like keep it moving.
Stop asking permission for all things. Make your own decisions. Someone was opposed to me making the current decision that I did. Well, I understand that, but I wasn't asking your permission. It's my life. You don't have to approve of it.
Right, right.
My choice. They impact me, not you.
I guess, like, does it matter to you how often that comes up, or even when that something like that comes up, do you just laugh it off, or how do you respond to that?
The older you get, the less you care. And you laugh it off.
Yeah.
And not even just the older you get, the more experiences you have. So because I'm not afraid of things and will say yes, I have so many experiences that other people don't have. So the more experiences you have, the less fearful you are of life, of circumstances, opportunities.
I like that. And how have you sought out your experiences? Whether it was like with worry, trepidation, like how have you continued to say, okay, let me go for a walk. Let me move to the city. Let me just do.
Yeah, I will say I do have faith. I do believe in God and I have faith that all things are working for my good and that things are going to work out. Even in the midst of something, like I've lost a job before, but it worked out for my good because it wasn't the place to be. It wasn't supposed to be there. So faith that really all things are working out for my good. And I'm just not fearful. Everything's not that serious. You can bounce back. I have been in a lot of debt before and I've gotten out and you bounce right back. You're fine. I've been sick before and I got better and you're fine. Like when you really think about it, there are people struggling with some serious things, but sometimes we make everything more than it needs to be. So I'm just not fearful. I don't live in fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't live in fear and I have faith that all things are working for my good.
I think that's beautiful.
Simple, but.
But to your point, I think simple is the best thing to make an effort to grasp, because it's that I think the world keeps trying to trick us that we need a lot of things, or we need to like I think the renewing of your mind is something to hold on to, but I don't think you need to be fused with decision fatigue in order to renew your mind.
Right. I mean, simple is maybe make a pros and cons list. If the pros outweigh, go in that direction. People are fearful of the unknown. I invest in real estate, and there are people who are saying like, oh, I wish I could do that, or oh, I can't do that. It's really not that hard. And I've had deals work out great. I've had deals that have failed, but overall it's been better for me than worse. But it's a matter of taking a chance and a risk and making a decision.
And doing the, like you said, doing the research, like making an effort. It's like, it may not pan out just like, hey, here's $100,000 in gold I've got stock. It's like, how did you start investing in real estate, for instance? I'm not saying to give advice on it, but like just, what's your process been?
Well, that's where the discipline comes in of like saving money for the first time. Once you get started, it's just like reciprocal. It just, you sell on property, money comes. But having diligence and saving money, but also getting in the right rooms. Everything I do, I surround myself around people who are doing that and people who have done it well. And sometimes you only have the ability to listen, but listen and pay attention. Look at people you listen to, look at their lives. Are they seeing fruit from what they're doing? Then that's somebody you can follow. So from learning, getting in the right rooms, what I've learned about people in terms of real estate, they love to share about what they're doing. So they're open. You just got to ask questions. So being bold, all of those things will help you in any endeavor that you decide to go do. Be bold, ask questions, get in the room with the right people. I'm really big on teaching, especially like young girls, find a mentor. And when you find a mentor, it's not necessarily that they're just pouring into you. You ask the questions, you get the information, decide what you want out of the relationship that's going to help you reach whatever next level it is for you.
Have you been a mentor to many, like in leadership, outside of leadership?
Yes. Like I desire every person that comes across my path, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about? And whatever that is, let me see how I can help you. I love connecting people with the right people. I love helping them determine what is your next steps. Because people say they want to do things, but if you really want to do them, let's map out a plan.
Yeah.
So what steps is it going to take for you to get there? And so, yes, I have done it for many. I love helping people reach whatever their goals are. There are people who've even come under me and are working for me and they don't. I just met someone this last week. Mm-hmm. He hates what he's doing. And I was like, but you're good. So let's figure out where you want to go and I'm going to help you get there. Because that's more important to me than keeping you in this position and you're unhappy because you're not going to be successful. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's
awesome. I like people who put forth effort.
Yeah.
You know, don't say you want help, but you don't do anything.
I guess what does that look like? Because to the point of you can be somewhat self-destructive where you may run into someone they just seem stuck. But it's like you say one thing out of your mouth where it's like you'll cut yourself down. But then on the other end, you're like, I really want to do this thing. But then there's no belief in your words. It's like you want to hope on something, you want to wish on a star, but then you're not going to make any effort to follow that star.
And then I think that's a question of, is that really what you want to do? Or are you doing what someone told you you should or what you think you should? Because when you really want something, you'll go after that. I know that even in myself, if I'm not putting forth an effort in something, I'm really not as interested as I thought I was, or I think I should be doing it because someone feels that I should be, although I'm getting better at only owning what I want to own. But that's a question to ask. Now, are you stuck because you don't have the resources or you don't have the knowledge? That's different. We can get those two things. But if the desire is not there, then let's abandon whatever plan you have and start with a new one.
I guess what's a story for you where you felt yourself going down the wrong path, or you just found yourself in something you're like, okay, this isn't what I thought it was, whether it was like having the family of four or the white picket fence. And it's like, okay, now I'm here. But instead of dwelling here, becoming a statistic, becoming another person in the clog in the machine, like what's something for you that had to, like, that worked your way through it and you only see it now looking back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't think I was going to be a single mom, and like all transparency, husband just came home one day and said, I'm leaving. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. And I was so much more passive back then. So I think I had to realize, okay, it's her and I, what am I going to do to get through this life and we be okay? And I also already had a vision and knew I wanted to live a certain way. And when you think about a single mom and struggling, I knew that's not the life I wanted to live. So then I had just started teaching and I looked at mm-hmm. people and the life that they were living that I wanted to live. And what did it take for them to get there? That's when I realized, oh, education was part of that. Now, education's not for anybody. I know plenty of entrepreneurs who are very successful, but in my field, it was required and necessary. So I said, okay, I've got to figure out a plan of how I'm going to get back in school and keep going. I also knew I needed to surround myself around support. Don't work in isolation and do things alone. I came back home to where my family was because I knew I needed help raising a child. Sometimes we do things by ourselves because we think we have to.
Yeah.
And even if you don't have family, find the people who are your support system to help you get to the next level. But even to this day, I still have a vision board
mm-hmm.
with specific plans of the things I want to do, but the vision board's not enough. So now what are the steps you're going to take to reach that goal that you have on that vision board?
I like it.
You want to go on an amazing trip? How much does that trip cost? How much, let's break that down to how much you need to save every month and how you're going to do that. If it's another real estate adventure, okay, how much am I going to need in order to have that down payment?
Yeah.
What does my credit score need to look like? What investors can I get around who can tell me about properties? Do I have the right team in place? So planning.
Yeah. I think for me, one thing before doing the job that I'm doing now, I took a hiatus, so to speak, from engineering, like pre-pandemic and then during the pandemic. And I had to do some brief soul searching, but one of the things was being active and not stagnant, because during the pandemic, it was convenient to stay at home. And it's at this point, before the pandemic and post-pandemic, part of the reason everything just shut down and it was like, okay, go home until further notice. And like just lacking that motivation, it's all right. I moved out of my parents' house in 2008 and I find myself back 10 years later in 2019. So it's like, it was like staying on that idea for some reason and just being like, okay, this is a failing, so to speak, and things aren't working out. But somehow or another, through encouragement from my parents, from my mom, my dad, from friends, and pushing, sometimes I felt like, why are you poking me? I'm like, just leave me alone. Let me cover myself, hide under the bed, and just be like, I don't want the world to look at me. Like, I didn't make the title. I didn't make this project. Like, I thought this was going to be the thing. I finally figured it out. I finally got my ducks in a row. But it to your point, it's having faith when what you see isn't quite lining up. It's like, well, I thought it was supposed to be like this. But it's mm-hmm. like, I kind of forgot that doing the degree that I did, I've got 5 options. And so far, I've only explored, I think, 2 of them.
Yeah.
So it's like being able to start over. I said all that to say, eventually, like I went engineering, home, podcast. Oh, what's this podcast thing? Back to engineering and then back home. And then it's, what am I doing now? I'm not doing anything. I need to be working. Even if I can live off my savings, I need to be active in people's presence so that I can interact. I may be introverted, but I still need to be out of isolation and talking to someone, even if it's just 2 words that I can afford that day. Hi, hello, thank you, like something. Because it's like, I don't think about it. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I can just sit back, watch YouTube all day, maybe fiddle here, fiddle there. And it's like, I don't want to hear all those people. They're too loud. They're too this, they're too that. But it's like every now and then you need that human touch to be like, oh, hey, okay, this is why I do what I do, because I actually care about people. But if I don't talk to anyone, no one would know that. And it wouldn't be evident. It would just be like, go over there, tinker around and just be like, oh, hey, look, I built a nice little mousetrap and somebody can use it. But then it's, why am I feeling resentment? Why am I like not getting this approval, these compliments that I say I don't really want? But then I'm envying it and I'm like sitting here wrestling with myself. And it's like, just go talk to somebody. Like, what are you complicating? Like, the world doesn't happen in this vacuum, but it's that for me, it was one of those getting over the fact of we're doing this job. Now you're not. Applying for jobs seems like they suck. I don't really trust myself to start this brand new thing and just be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to figure it out. It's no safety net, no nothing like that. And the simple thing was, hey, go apply to the local Home Depot and work. Just show up, do the job. I got some pushback initially where someone was like, you're an engineer? Like, this resume doesn't match the title. It's like, you're overqualified. And I'm like, I just need the work. Like, yes. I just need presence. I need to be around people. Maybe I won't say much, but two words to people, or like smile and just be like, I'm not here to take anything from anyone, but I need to. Like, I needed that. And I didn't think I needed that. I didn't think I had like an ego challenge during that time. But it was just like a brief period of a month to 2 months where it was like December to January of the, okay, I said I'm going to do this. And now I need to do it and show up.
And don't get me wrong, I've had setbacks. I think setbacks are fine. I don't even think, my daughter has spent several months, she was out of work. She also lived off her savings, which I was proud of her that she had it to begin with. But I was like, it's okay to come back home. I wanted her to come back home. I'm like, come back home, save up your money and buy yourself some property. It's okay. It gives you time to reflect, to think about where you are and where you want to go next. That's perfectly fine, I think. And I will say, over the years, I've been so busy that I'm now at a place of knowing I need to pause and do a check-in with myself. Am I where I want to be? Happy can be relative, but overall, is where I'm at helping me as you get older too, physically, like my health, mentally, spiritually. And if those things are on the right path, then I'm good. If they're off, which they have been in times, I've had to make decisions to walk away from either people, circumstances, even jobs. So taking that time to reflect. Yeah. People think that, oh, wow, who know me? Like, your life is so busy. You're always busy. No, I'm actually love silence. And sometimes I'm at home in just pure silence. And that gives me time to reflect. So, but setbacks are okay. Because I always, where I am right now, I was like, there's nowhere for us to go but up. Come on, guys. We got this.
Yeah. I like that. It's funny. Things aren't always what they appear, but
yeah.
Sometimes it's a little bit better. It's not always as bad as you think it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you. We usually make it worse than it is. And we see things worse than they are.
I guess that's that part of self-preservation. It's like, hey, so long as there's something to like get away from, something to run from, it's like, you're alive. You're alive. If you're a sitting lame duck, it's like, that's it. We're done.
No, you're right. It actually is. I just, the nerd in me, was just listening to an actual podcast, a neuroscience-backed wellness, and it was saying that your brain naturally, it's normal, because, you know, people like, they first think of the negative response, and that's actually your brain coming in to protect you. So that's why your first thought is negative defensive mode, and it's retraining, but it's there for a purpose, to keep you from being harmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's trippy when the thing that's supposed to protect you almost feels like it's a weapon against yourself.
Oh my gosh. That's the delicate balance that you have to find.
Yeah.
That's where doing a lot of self-work helps.
I guess what's that been like for you? What's that look like?
Well, I was just saying the other day, I need to get back to actually like journaling, because that was helpful to just process your thoughts. Taking time, like I said, for silence, whether that be even reading, spending time maybe doing devotional, or just I also am very intentional. People make vision boards and they just like put them away or they put them up somewhere. I literally look at it every day and saying, is what I'm doing in alignment with what I have on this vision board? I'm telling you, the last 3 years I've been doing that every day. I look at it. In the last 3 years, at the end of the year, I was like, I've done everything that I have on here. Looking at it and saying, all the choices I'm making, are they in alignment? And are the choices I'm making me feel good? You get better at knowing what's good for you over time.
I think I got introduced to vision boarding by Karen Pilgrim, and we talked about it before on the podcast, and we've done an exercise or two, but it's funny that with you mentioning it, and it's been in my mind as I look at my wall that's blank in front of me, I finally settled into, okay, let's put something up here to look at and something that's inspiring. And going back to that time when it was to go from home, take a break from engineering and figuring out what's next, journaling is one of those things that help, and found this thing called self-authoring. And it was helpful in doing therapy at the time, and also being able to document part of the process where it was like, okay, here's a guideline that's very specific for me, and I can do it badly to unpack my past and like say epochs, I think, as they describe it, from like 0 to 7, 7 mm-hmm. to 14, 15, and then like the next step and the next step. And it's like, okay. And then looking at for the present, it was like your virtues and your faults. So looking at what you think is positive about you and what you think is negative, and also really interrogating your thoughts in a way and being like, okay, if you really value this, like what happens if you don't do it? What happens if you do it? And it seems like a lot. And of course, like the future is looking at 6 months ahead, let's set some goals, a year ahead, 2 years ahead. And it's like doing it 15 minutes at a time, maybe an hour a day, and like slowly chipping at it, going to work, I thought it was the best schedule, because it's like you work 4 days, 10 hours, come Friday morning, free to go. Working on the night shift took a while to get adjusted to that for about 10 months, but is like, oh yeah, I get my weekends. I can do this. I can do that. Like little worries. I could be home and actually interact with my parents, develop a relationship, and seeing something older people say about like, okay, you only have so much time. And even if you're upset about something, it's that, is what I'm upset about going to be more important than me making a phone call, than me paying a visit, whether it's a surprise visit, and being like, okay, I can put that down, or maybe I can't put it down. Just be like, I need that quiet right now. And I can be, oh, I haven't done anything this weekend, but it's like, oh, I'm not running from something or running to something. I'm actually like at peace. Like I'm calm. Oh, okay. This is cool. I like this. It's like, it's not bad. But like to the same thing that you're saying about the vision board, I remember when I moved down here 2 years ago, I looked back through the goals, because once I finish it, it gives you like an email that you just basically have it listed. And I was like, did that. And like some things felt like setbacks maybe, but I'm like, oh, that is what I wanted. That is exactly what I prayed for. And like finding this place, it's like, I want a one bedroom furnished place. And it's like, I guess you'd say it's like student housing. And initially I thought like, oh, the neighbor upstairs is like blasting music from 10 to 4 a.m. in the morning. And I've got to get up and leave for work at 4. And I'm like, what's going on here? But talking through it in therapy and being like, okay, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And just having the right person in my ear, having the right people in my corner. It's like all these things popping up aren't really the issue. It's like what you're in the center of it, and kind of you have a choice in the matter. Like, yes, you can address this way. If you have a noise complaint, submit the noise complaint. No need to like confront someone face to face. And like just being able to unpack certain things and not have to wallow in them. Like something happened. Okay, let me pick up the story. Walk over here. Hey, this happened. Let me pick up the story again. Hey, this happened. Let me pick up the story. Hey, this happened. It's like, did this happen to you at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., or 12 p.m.? It's like, if it happened at 6 a.m., it should have happened at 6 a.m. It stayed at 6 a.m.
Oh, that's good.
It didn't need to show up to like 6 p.m. because it's like you just... Right. Carried that thing all day. And it's like, huh, like, okay, you mean I get a choice and it happened, I'm frustrated, but it's like, I don't have to let it guide my whole day. Like the whole thing about like, okay, are you an engineer? Are you a podcaster? Are you I'm like, oh, okay, like that's someone's opinion or version of me, but it's like, it's their opinion. It's like, I don't have to do anything with that. Like I used to think that I had to put everything in like a nice neat box or an Excel spreadsheet. I had this idea that at some point in time, if something catastrophic happened and I lost my mind, I wanted everything written down to be like, hey, in case something happens, here's the manual to my life, like pick up and go. And it's like, stop doing that. Like stop doing that. If something happens, God forbid, like just don't do that. Like you kind of just setting yourself up for failure. Of course, you can make a will, have your assets in place so that it doesn't get tied up in litigation and things like that. Simple things, but trying to plan out your whole life and map out, this is when I'm going to get married, this is when I'm going to see this and that. It was like, all right, let's stop. Like, let's figure out the things we actually enjoy and work on practicing that. And everything else will kind of come in its own time.
Yeah, nothing has gone as I thought it would. None of my plans, the life I am living is, I did not even dream it. And thinking about, first of all, doesn't matter. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be a podcast and an engineer. You can do what you want to
right. And it's like the two don't have to intertwine. Oh, my bad.
Right. I love interior design. Like, if I, sometimes I'm like, I'm going to go back to school and get a degree in interior design, but I'm tired of paying for school.
Right.
But I wanted to go back to like the vision boards and saying how mine have changed over the years, where it used to be like, I wanted these things, or now it's more, I literally have it like in quadrants of how do I want to feel, like thinking about my mental health, what does that look like? And what do I want that to be physical? Thinking about like quadrants of your mind, body, heart, and spirit. And what are the things that are going to make me feel fulfilled in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind, in my body? So like travel, I like to travel. That's going to be one of them. But less for work and more for pleasure. You know, I enjoy redesigning homes. So where does that fit in? So it's changed over the years from accomplishing things to things that are going to make me feel happy in those areas of my being.
I like
so,
that. And I guess with that, do you still do the, like the scrapbooking, you cut something out and paste it on the physical board that you look at every day?
Yeah, for me, I like to do that. It's something about the process of that work that I internalize it, or some people might do it on their computer, which is fine, whatever works for you. Yeah. But for me, there is something about that. And I think there's some intentionality that comes when you are, and it may be silly and old, but, and I'm, trust me, I love technology, but something about going through a magazine and finding the perfect word, because I also have lots of words, like peace. I want peace in my life. Mindfulness, intentionality is always on my vision board every year. Finding that perfect word or that perfect picture or graphic, there's something about that that internalizes it for me, that helps me with my board. And I want it visually to look a specific way. So yeah, I like doing it that way.
That makes sense. It's interesting where, like, you have to your point, it's like you have to figure out what works for you and not feel that, like, if this isn't done this way, nothing's going to work out right. And, like, I didn't think I was creative before, because it's like in art class, you have the people that are, like, kind of going back to the savants, the people that just, like, free flow, that, like, graffiti artists and this. And I'm sitting here trying to draw a line or draw a curve. And I'm like, I'm really trying to draw this flower, but it's taking me forever. And always feeling like the slow kid where it's like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But now it's like being an adult and, okay, I went to school, I got the degree, I have a good job that I can go to. But now, once I've done the job and I've managed my time there, I give myself energy I give myself the time that I need to do what I want outside of work. And I don't blend those two things. And it's like, okay, I started making this scrapbook, I think right out of college. And it was like, I don't take a lot of pictures, but I'd gotten birthday cards. I don't really like to celebrate my birthday and things like that. Somebody will ask me like, hey, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I might go do dinner. I might go to a restaurant, order something, or I might go watch a movie, or I might just go for a walk. I'm like, I'm celebrating my life in that way. And someone's like, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I'm like, you want to do that. I don't.
People always want to impose on you what they want to do.
Right. I mean, sometimes it's like, I'll welcome it if it's like, okay, like you want to celebrate, sure, we'll do something. But like, if I'm just not in the mood, like I'll take a phone call and I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, and even being able to accept thank yous, it's like, okay, like, yeah, okay, I'll welcome it. Like, I don't have to, again, carry, like literally all the birthday cards and everything I've ever received, I've kept them. And I was like, where can I put them? Maybe I can put them in the scrapbook, because I'm like, okay, maybe this stands out. Here are graduation cards and things like that. And it's not to the point of hoarding, because it's like, I've cut down some things. So If anything, it fits in a tackle box, like a little fishing toolbox that people would use. So it's like, I have it fit there. And as I've had to move a lot from college, like I went from Georgia to Louisiana to Texas, back to Louisiana to outside of Chicago, Illinois, we'll just go state to state, back to Georgia, inside Georgia, East Georgia, North Georgia, Puerto Rico, back to North Georgia, now in South Georgia. Like, in doing all those different moves, like, we were told up front for this 2-year training program, you need to keep your bags light so that you can get up and move at a moment's notice, within a week, within a day. Like, I think for one job, I found out a month before. Next thing I know, I found out 2 days before where I was going to be next week. And it was like, okay, you were told this is part of your training. So it's like, okay, I tried the blow up mattress at first. I was like, oh, this girl said she lived on this blow up mattress for 6 months or 2 years on the training program. Let me try this thing. Let me be through. And it's like one night on a blow up mattress with a hole in it. Yeah. Put the frugality to the side. I'm like, I need to sleep. We're working 60 hours at this fabrication plant and this isn't working out. I can be hype. I'm doing all this journaling, listening to ET and everything, but I'm like, yeah, I don't like this. I'm not sleeping and I need to get some rest. Otherwise I am not going to function well. So it's like my first major investment was like getting a bed and talking to my younger brother. I think this week, last week, he's more of the mindset of like, I'm going to get quality things. And as we were talking through it, I've developed being of the mindset of listening more and not interjecting so much. Like, I've done a lot of like over talking and I'm like, oh, okay. So like, that's the decision making. Cool. And it's like, yeah, he's his own person. Like, if I keep trying to do this one, he's not going to let me, which is great. It's like, he stands up for himself. I'm like, salute. That took me this much time. You're doing it in this much time. That's progress. Like, we're talking about generational wealth. There's something we got right. Like, if somebody says, oh, we're not doing this, it's like, here's all the hurdles, here's that. It's like, well, here's the positive. If you're not going to take it, I'm going to take it. And I'm just going to keep it to myself. But yeah, I think this one, we'll just call it the celebrating wins, because for some reason, being able to talk to you and being able to like celebrate you, but also feeling, I'd say, blessed to be like, oh yeah, like, here's a win. And like, you don't have to do anything with it and you don't poo-poo it in any way. And it's just like, okay, cool. Like, good for you. Thank you for that. Just listening. I'm like, hey, thank you.
I mean, I hear nothing but winning. So no, it's been awesome talking to you. Not only have you dropped so many nuggets, but you are encouraging me to just constantly stay in the presence of reflecting on where I am, where I want to go, but acknowledging and accepting where you're at. Because sometimes I can get caught up on the next thing. And let's just pause and stay where you are right now and take it all in. Yeah. So that's what I'm walking away with.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And what's the back half of 2023 looking like for you?
Oh, geez. Now I get so worried about saying things like that because they definitely change. I'm like, I want to be settled in life a little more for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm happy where I'm at. So for 2023, the back end, geez.
Or what's it been like? But maybe go that direction to enjoy the present.
What has it been like? It's been a whirlwind, but in a good way for me personally. I think people outside watching me are exhausted, but I learned a long time ago, but my energy and capacity to do the things I do, everybody doesn't have it.
Right.
So I don't expect it of you, but don't try to dim me because you're uncomfortable. So for me, it's just staying in a place of reflection and monitoring. Are you okay? Is your mind okay? Is your heart okay? Your body, your spirit, are they okay? Because like you said earlier, we're all replaceable. I have learned that life is not just about work and making money. So I have entered this phase of, I work hard, but I also want to play hard. So that's where I'm at right now.
From the first question I asked, are you still who you said you were?
I think now I know more of who I am and then purposefully, intentionally making decisions to walk in it every day.
Awesome. And if you would let people know how they can get in touch with
you. Oh, geez. I guess you can find me on social media. I will say I'm not as active as I probably should be, but I'm out here doing things. Gotcha. So Dr. Camille Johnson, Facebook, Instagram. I have a TikTok, but don't use it. So yeah, those are the easiest. Use Instagram is probably the best way.
Gotcha. And do you mind if people drop you a line, or how do you go about that? You just
Instagram, I will respond to that faster than I would like a Facebook message. Mm-hmm. But either way, I'll get there eventually. But yeah, awesome. I don't mind. This was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And by the way, I just want to say, I enjoy your voice. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I specifically look for voices like yours. So whatever anybody's saying, you can ignore it.
I've started to more and more.
Good.
Thank you so much. We'll do this again. Until next time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.